Matthew chapter 11. The message today is being with Jesus. I want to read just a few scriptures and then, in the will of God, bring many more to your attention. But the ones that I read to you will introduce the subject. So Matthew 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will quote to you John chapter 5. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. And you will not come unto me that you may have life. And now John 14. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the light of heaven that shines upon us as we open thy word, as the light of heaven shined upon the hearts of men when your Son came from heaven and was on earth. And we thank you for the mission on which thou didst send him. We are thankful that the mission was begun and all that you allotted him to do during his lifetime, he completed. And we are thankful that as to the rest of the things that were to be done, he left them to his disciples and said that he would pray for those that would believe on him through their word. We are thankful that when the Lord Jesus spoke, men believed on him. We are thankful that thou hast told us that when we speak the word, men will believe on him. And we desire to understand about this invitation given by Jesus and then by his disciples and all that pertains to it. And so today, by thy Spirit, prepare the hearts of those who are listening and the lips of him who speaks. And let us learn about your will. And let us learn about being with Jesus. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In a local newspaper in Goldsboro, at times, there will be a big spread giving the biography of some prominent citizen or someone of importance who has just come to town. And after it tells you how old he is, where he came from, what his occupation is, where he goes to church, they ask him this question. Now, if you had the opportunity, what three people would you invite to have dinner with you. And it's always interesting to see the ones that they invite. Some of them that like literature, or maybe they do not like it but want to impress people, say, oh, I want to have Shakespeare with me. And then others who are supposed to know music, oh, I would like to have Mozart or Bach with me. And then the ones who want to show that they are religious, they say, we would like to have Jesus with us. Now, I would think that if I were to answer that question, I would insist that they put down, I would desire to have the Lord Jesus Christ the dying with me. But if you want to know the truth, if they ask if I wanted the Lord Jesus to come and dine with me, I would refuse that offer for this reason. I dine with him every day. You say, how can that be? Well, let me give you this scripture, and I want to explain some things at the first, so that when I'm going from one aspect of the truth to another, you'll be able to, in your mind, by the context and what I say, understand it. Well, what I mean is this. The Savior said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I tell you, I've been eating with the Lord Jesus for over 50 years, all my life long. And so for that reason, I would not ask the Lord Jesus to come in today, because I am assured that spiritually, dining with me my whole life long, I shall bodily eat with Christ in the coming kingdom. Our Savior, in talking about that coming kingdom, he says, they are come from the east and the west and the north and south and sit down with me in my kingdom, and they shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So do you see the two aspects already I've told you about being with Jesus? If the Savior says, I will come in and sup with you, he's with me. I'm with him. But there is a difference in Jesus being with us in the way that I spoke of and that he promised his disciples. He said, they will sit down with me in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and he mentions all the people that are going to be there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets, they're going to sit down with Christ in the kingdom and eat bread. Think of this. I'm going to mention three spheres in which we may be with Jesus, and then I will tell you, as thoughts come to my mind about being with Jesus, and all of them will be in one of these spheres. First of all, I speak of being with Jesus in the days of his flesh. That is the way of all things. The incarnation of the Son of God is spoken of, who in the days of his flesh, so from the time of his birth until the time of his death and ascension to heaven, they're spoken of the days of his flesh. And the invitation that our Savior gave in Matthew 11 was in the days of his flesh. And when he said to Peter and Andrew and James and John and to Matthew, follow me, the Lord Jesus bodily was speaking physically to men, telling them to follow him in a physical way. You must understand that. And all of these things that I've read from the gospel occurred in the days of his flesh, and they were invitations that could be heard, and they were to be obeyed, and men would forsake the table where they had all their money for collecting taxes, or their nets and their fishing boats, and they would follow Jesus. But think now. after the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, that invitation is still given. And if I read, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if I quoted from the book of Revelation, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You think I'm talking about coming to Jesus in a physical way? Or is it in a spiritual way? You say, why? It would have to be in a spiritual way. And taking the water of life, it would have to be in a spiritual way. And so there are times when Christ spoke to people and he said, follow me. And they rose and followed him. That was a physical thing. And there were times when the Savior said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They could obey that command without moving a muscle, because that is a spiritual coming to him. And also, and this is what is so precious, there is that interval when Christ is gone, and that is when we, his disciples, are preaching, inviting men to come. But there is the time when our Savior is going to come back again, and that's why I read to you in John 14 and in John 17. The Savior bodily went into heaven. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so that is the bodily descent of Christ from heaven, to catch us up bodily, to be with him wherever he is. And this I will tell you now and hope to impress it upon you more strongly later, concerning those who respond to his invitation. He said, Father, it is my will. In the garden he said, not my will, but mine be done. But it's the word thelo, thelema. I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory which thou hast given me. You loved me before the foundation of the world. So think of this. The Lord Jesus makes a promise that those who respond to him and become his disciples, not only in a spiritual way, but in a bodily way, in the literal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall come and take us to be to himself, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. But all of these physical promises that go along with the spiritual promises Christ gave us must be received, must be obeyed, or there will be no being with the Lord. The reason I had Ephesians 2 read first of all is that you must understand, and mankind must understand, that by birth they are separated from Christ. It says this, remember that at one time you Gentiles were separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, you're separate from Christ. That is why he says, come unto me. He does not say, come unto me, to those that are already with him and have received him as Savior. But he speaks of the Gentiles in that respect. You were separate from Christ. And also, the Lord Jesus speaks of his own people, and he says to them, you are your father, the devil. And it is the will of your father, that's the will that you want to carry out. And so understand this. I'm talking about being with Jesus, because it is something that unless you have actively, by the exercise of your will, obeyed the invitation that Christ is giving, then you're still separate from Christ and you know absolutely nothing about being with Jesus. Now, think of this. I told you I shall go from one to another. You will have to figure it out. Do you realize that there were some with the Lord Jesus Christ bodily, but spiritually, they were a million miles away from Him. When our Savior raised Lazarus from the dead, there were those who saw Him that would believe Him and embrace Him as Savior, and they were with Him physically and spiritually. But there were some who were there with Him physically, and they were a million miles away from Him spiritually, because when He committed that miracle, they went and told the enemies of Christ about it, and they said, "We're going to put Him to death." And so there is such a thing as being with Jesus physically, but spiritually, you are not close to Him at all. Think of Judas Iscariot. He was sitting with our Savior at the table when He was washing the disciples' feet. And this is what it says. While He's sitting there, the devil, having put into his heart to betray Jesus, and so he's with Jesus physically as much as Peter, Andrew, James, or John. And it says, finally, when Christ gave him the sop, it says, Satan entered into him. And the Savior said, "What you do, do quickly." And he went out, and it was night. And so Judas Iscariot was with him as physically as well as Peter and John and the others. But spiritually, he was far away. And this is what I want you to understand, that all of you are in this building as much as I am. And some of you are here because you know Christ is your Savior, and you love Him, and you are with Jesus spiritually. But unless you receive Him as Savior, you are separate from Christ, strangers, aliens. All of these things are foreign to you. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because all men need to come to the Lord Jesus. You are heavy laden either with religion or with atheism or with sin, but you're laden with something, and the Lord Jesus has to remove that burden. And that is why Jesus Christ gives the invitation, "Come unto me," because He wants all men to come to Him. And that is what causes me to marvel why the Lord Jesus would want somebody like you, and here am I, why He would invite us to come and be with Him, I cannot understand. Think of your life honestly, what you are inwardly, that you secretly know what you are. If you thought Jesus knew what you were, do you believe He would really invite you to come and be with Him and be His follower? Before you answer that question, let me tell you what Peter discovered at that time, Simon. The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 5 uses Peter's fishing boat as a pulpit. And then He says, "Now, you put out into the deep and let down for a draught." And Peter says, "We've labored all night, but if you want me to, I will do it if you give me the command." And he went out and let down the net and engulfed a great number of fishes. And it says that when Peter saw that, this is what he said. He said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Think of that. He understood the truth, and I hope you do as well. When he saw the miracle of the Lord Jesus and understood the holiness of Jesus, he said, "Get away from me." He said, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." And so what would ever make you think that Jesus would receive you in all your sins and hypocrisy and pretension and failures? Why do you think that He would invite you to come to Him and be His disciple? And if you give me the scripture and say, "Because in the Bible He tells me so," then I have no argument against it. But if you give me any other reason than that the Lord Jesus, in His grace and mercy and love, came into the world to save sinners, then I would understand that you do not understand about being with Jesus. if he ever saves anybody, it is not that he calls them because of who they are and what they are, but in spite of who they are and what they are. And so this one that in the future was going to give that great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember at first, when the Lord Jesus performed that miracle, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, I want you to understand that the marvel, first of all, is that Jesus would invite all sinners to come to him. And the second marvel is this, that some men, when invited, refuse to come to the Lord Jesus. You say, they refuse? Why, of course. Did you not hear what Peter said to him when Christ revealed suddenly his person? He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And do you not remember that when the Savior cast the demons out of Legion, and those swine were indwelt by those demons and went down into the sea and were drowned, and the citizens came out and learned what had happened, they said to Jesus, "Depart out of our coast." Strange thing, isn't it? They tell him, "Get out of town. We don't want you around anymore." And this is what it says in the Old Testament, because what I'm telling you in the New Testament is not a new thing. Job is talking about wicked men, and this is what they say to God. They say, "Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." And that is truth, and that is what men say, and that is why men will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not want the knowledge of his ways. And so think. Peter is invited. "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." Peter says, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy." Well, that can be overpassed. Then others, when our Savior performs a miracle, they say, "Depart from us. Depart from our coast." Now, at least they had an opportunity to think things over, and it's not so blatant. But when our Savior was given an opportunity to be released by his own countrymen, they said, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! We will not have this man to reign over us!" Isn't this a remarkable thing? I've given you three illustrations now when men say to Christ, "Depart, go away. We don't want anything to do with you. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways." How remarkable that the Lord Jesus, who would invite sinners to come to him. Why, I could understand a sinner saying, "Lord, you want me to come? You give me an opportunity to come and have my sins forgiven and spend eternity with you in heaven?" Yes. Well, I could understand the reaction of a sinner that way. But I cannot understand a sinner saying to Jesus, "Get out. I want nothing to do with you. I don't want to hear about your ways. I want to live my own life the way I live it." A strange thing. But now, there are others who do things a little differently. Some, when the Lord Jesus comes to them, and in Luke 9, this is what he said. There were three invitations. He said, "Follow me." Think of this. Christ speaking to a man and saying, "Follow me." Would he not immediately accept that invitation? He said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Let me go and say farewell to my relatives." And when Christ said, "Follow me," this is what he said. The one said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And the Savior said to him, "The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And you never read that that man followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor the other two that had that opportunity. Because one had to go and say goodbye to his family, and another one had to go and take care of his father's death and his estate. All of these reasons for not accepting the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there seemed to be a more promising incident when the rich young ruler was talking to our Lord and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus told him, and in brief he said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and come, follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." And it said, when he heard that invitation with those conditions, it said his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowfully. Why? Because he had great possessions. And I've given you all of these illustrations of those who would not come to Christ for one reason or another. For some reason, they would not accept the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him. Think of the first. The first was, "Depart from me, O Lord, because I'm a sinful man." Well, I tell you, if that is your objection, that is a cause to rejoice. Because whenever Christ gives an invitation and a man says, "I am a sinful man," the Lord Jesus overrides that. He said, "I came into the world not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That is the greatest hope when a man says, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." When a man smites upon his breast and will not lift his eyes to heaven and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That is the man that is certain to be saved when he thinks he's unworthy to be saved, but when he realizes that in spite of his being a sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ will save him and do something with his life. He says, "You follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." And so all of you who give that objection, "Look, I'm a sinner. I'm so great a sinner. Jesus doesn't want me." If you truly believe that in your heart, you can be saved. But if it is an excuse to refuse serving Christ for the rest of your life, it is something that will damn your soul. Yes, you're a sinner. If we confess our sins, that's what God delights to hear. To smite upon our breast and say, "I'm a sinful man," that's fine. Then the Lord Jesus has no trouble saving you. But if as some say, "Lord, I'm such a sinful man, you don't want to save me, and so you've got to leave my life alone." The Lord Jesus knows all this subterfuge, and whether you mean it when you say, "I'm a sinner," or whether you just want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, you may not know your own heart until the Lord Jesus interferes in your life. What do I mean? I remember talking to a young man in a university town long ago, telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "I do not want any religion that has inhibitions." In other words, the religion he wanted would allow him to do anything that he pleased, to think anything that he pleased. And so I had nothing else that I could tell him, because the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you're not prepared to leave father and mother and lay down your own life, you are not worthy of me. But at least the man honestly came out and said, "Any religion I have is going to be the religion of my choosing that allows me to live as I please." But that's not the religion that Jesus Christ gives you. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's the kind of religion that the Lord Jesus invites you to. And when a man hears that, when he understands that sacrifice is involved, he says, "Jesus, get out of my life." You see, I'm thinking the same thing. If there is a demon-possessed man in the midst and nobody had been able to tame him, but now the Lord Jesus Christ has come and with a command, rid that man of his demons, and then gotten rid of the swine that the Israelites were not permitted to eat, done them that favor, he exorcised and got rid of unclean swine at that time, and then they come to him and say, "Look, you have interfered with our lives, our occupations. We are afraid. We don't understand you. We want you to get out of our lives." And so at least that's honest. And the sad thing is this, that if you tell Jesus that, he will do exactly what you tell him to do. When he says to you, come unto me, you say, oh no. But when you say to him, get out of my life, depart from me, he always does it. I think of two instances. It says that when our Savior was coming to his disciples walking upon the water, it said he would have passed them by, but they hailed him and they want him to come to them. And when our Savior is walking with Cleopas and his companion on that road to Emmaus, it said when they got to their destination, the Lord Jesus made as if he would go on, but then they constrained him and said, come in and dine with us. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has never compelled any man to accept him, to receive him, to follow him. And I hear the folly of this irresistible grace, whereas Stephen, it cost him his life, but he said, you stiff-necked and hardened in heart, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. Of course men resist. Do you think the Lord Jesus is in folly inviting men? Come unto me. But he's laughing because he knows that they cannot come. It says that Jesus Christ liketh every man coming into the world. The Lord Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so this is what Christ does. But some men have excuses. They will not come unto him. But it is not because they cannot come. It is not that Christ does not want them to come. He does want them to come. But some will not come. And this is what you must understand, that if you will not come, the Lord Jesus, if he's coming to you and you do not call unto him, he passes you by. You remember what Bartimaeus did? The blind man was sitting there and he said, what is that noise? What's going on? They said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He said, this is my one opportunity. And he cried out, he insistently cried out, Lord, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they said, keep quiet. He said, I'm not going to keep quiet. And he kept shouting. And it said that Jesus stood still. And he said, what do you want? He said, I want my eyes open. And the Lord Jesus said, be it done unto thee as you will. Isn't that beautiful? And then it said, he cast away his garment and followed him in the way. But you must understand this, that Jesus comes by, and whereas he wants you, you must also want him. And if you do not want him in your life, he does not come into your life. He made as though he would go on beyond the destination at Emmaus, but they constrained him to come in. And so when the Lord Jesus says, as in Revelation 3:20, and I will apply it to you, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, he's omnipotent. He can come in. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. You see, you open the door. He has to knock. He wants admittance. But you have to let him in. And that is why it says that he would have gone past them. He made as though he would not dine with them. Why? Because what he wants for you, you are to want for him. And yet all of these people who have been invited by Christ to come to him and receive rest, so many of them refuse. And this may be sadder even still, that some, for reasons that are inconceivable, do come to Christ or his disciples, but later on depart from him. In John chapter 6, our Savior is speaking words that are spirit and they are life. And he keeps telling them more and more things that are profound. And finally he says, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? And they had said, this is a hard saying. And when they heard that, it said, some of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because they did not know all that doctrinally was included when the Lord Jesus invited them to be his disciples. They did not know his full person. The blind man did not know, but he said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" And he said, "You've both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee." He said, "I believe." And then when the Lord Jesus is speaking to disciples that apparently are true, when they hear this doctrine that he's going back to heaven where he was before, it says they went back and walked no more with him. And that is the sad thing, that some of you may be followers of Christ, and yet only he knows the truth and the sincerity of this following Christ that is in your heart. Why? You may follow him to a certain point, but when he brings out a particular doctrine that is incredible, you say, "I'm not going to follow him anymore." I remember one dear brother, before he was saved, was listening to Peter Pell, and Peter Pell was talking about the Lord Jesus coming back from heaven to receive his own to himself. And he said, "That man is insane, Jesus coming back from heaven." And so he went out again, and Peter Pell preached on that same thing. And he said to his wife, he said, "If he preaches on that once more, I'm never going to come back." But he did go back, and now that he has trusted Christ as Savior, one of the finest things he loves to hear, one of the best sermons, is that Jesus is going to come back again. But at that time, he heard it, and as a sinner, he said, "I'm not coming back," if he keeps telling that. The sad thing is this, that some professed disciples of Jesus, if someone hears the truth of all the doctrines of God and all that Christ would have you to believe, what happens is that they turn back and follow no more with him. And the sad thing is this, that Jesus does nothing about it. When the rich young ruler had a fallen countenance and walked away from the Lord did absolutely nothing to call him back. And in John chapter 6, when all of his disciples after that left him and walked no more with him, Jesus did nothing to call them back. But even though he was expecting a definite answer for good, he said to his left disciple to remain, "Will you also go away?" And they said, "No, we are not going away." You see the difference? There was never any compulsion on the part of Jesus to keep you near him, to have you close to his heart. That is the sad thing, and that's the good thing. Because what if sinners were in heaven and you wanted to get out of heaven, but God would not let you? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? But what happens is this, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and they know that they want to be in heaven, and he wants them to come back. This is what he says in Luke chapter 17. He said, "The days come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it." Now, one of the days of the Son of Man includes those days when he comes back to earth and establishes his kingdom. And the disciples, who were so sad when he was taken into heaven, they were watching him as he was taken away, and a cloud received them out of their sight, and they had to be brought to their senses. "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that was taken away from you shall so come unto you in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." You see, even then they were longing to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Well, the promise of the Lord Jesus is this, you're going to see one of the days of the Son of Man. He said, "You shall sit down with me in my kingdom. You shall sit upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And so Jesus wants you to be with him. Do you want Jesus to be with you? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that Jesus gives invitations to sinful men. Our God, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. And for that reason, there's no one whom he will refuse. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. Our God, the marvel is that he would invite us to come to him. The other marvel is that we would refuse. But, our God, so long as it is today, let men hear and let them hearken. The night cometh when no man can work. The darkness overtakes and they cannot be saved. And so by your Spirit, draw them, Father, and let them respond. And then, our God, let them embrace that promise. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.